So this is what it says, starting at verse 19. "And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in the middle of the week when we can come apart and have Bible study and pray. Thank you for inviting us to pray. Thank you for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. And we pray tonight for these prayer requests from our missionaries. We pray for the Davilas in Costa Rica and for that project that's going on with that new church, Vida Nueva. And we would pray that they would be able to acquire that land and that they would be able to do with it what they plan to do to reach that community for Christ. And we pray that the gospel would spread there through that church. Lord, we pray for the Dahomes in North Africa, especially during this month that is special to the Muslims. We pray for protection and safety for them. And we pray that they might have opportunities to reach out to Muslims. And we pray that you would open their blinded eyes and work in their hearts and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Jim and Mary Alice, for their health issues that they weren't specific about, but we pray for them. We pray for their health, that you would strengthen their bodies and help them to endure whatever it is that they are going through. And we pray for your blessings upon their work as they translate and record New Testament books of Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians into this language that they are translating it into. Now, it may not even be a language that is written down anywhere, but to get the New Testament into a language that those people can understand, we pray that that would lead them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Alan and Ann Cochet. Pray for Ann Cochet as she recovers from surgery that she had today, that she might recover completely enough so that she can be comfortable in going to France in August. And we pray for Alan that you would provide the needs that he has. And we pray for the church as they transition into a new pastor. Lord, we pray for our Bible study tonight that you would teach us from this passage something about how to pray for pastors and missionaries. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of the book of Ephesians tonight. We've covered in the book of Ephesians the Christian's wealth, the Christian's walk, and the Christian's warfare. This book begins in the heavenly places. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. And it ends on its knees in prayer, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, and also for me. Last time we talked about prayer as the thing that enlists the help of God as we put on the gospel armor to fight against the flesh and the world and Satan, who is ultimately our greatest enemy behind all the opposition that we face. And tonight we want to talk about prayer again, only tonight we want to talk about how to pray for missionaries. Paul was a missionary, the greatest missionary of all time. He would not have said that, and he would have none of that kind of talk, but he virtually evangelized the whole Roman Empire in about 30 years of missionary life. He says here in verse 19, "Pray for me." So if the Apostle Paul needed prayer, then all preachers and missionaries need prayer. And I believe we can find some guidelines here in this passage about how to pray for missionaries. First of all, I would say pray with urgency. Verse 19. Well, verse 18 says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." And then the first phrase in verse 19 says, and also for me. And also for me, he says. There's an urgency in that appeal for prayer going back into verse 18. Just notice the words that he's using, that he uses, "praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance." Those are words of intensity and urgency. It's an urgent appeal for prayer. In 1671 was born in Germany a man named Johann Burchard Freystein. He wrote the following words to an old hymn: "Rise, my soul, to watch and pray. From thy sleep awaken. Be not by the evil day unawares or taken. For the foe, well we know, oft his harvest reapeth while the Christian sleepeth. Watch against the devil's snares, lest asleep he find thee. For indeed no pains he spares to deceive and blind thee. Satan's prey, oft are they, who secure are sleeping, and no watch are keeping. But while watching also pray to the Lord unceasing. He will free thee by thy stay, strength and faith increasing. O Lord, bless in distress, and let nothing swerve me from the will to serve thee." Over 100 years ago, Charlotte Elliott wrote the words for another hymn that goes like this: "Christian, seek not yet repose. Cast thy dreams of ease away. Thou art in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. Principalities and powers, mustering their unseen array, wait for thy unguarded hours. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Pray that help may be sent down. Watch and pray." Both of those hymns point to the urgency of prayer. And Paul is teaching us to be diligent in prayer here. And he says, "Pray for me. I need prayer." Secondly, pray for a supply of truth from God. Verse 19 says, "that words may be given to me in opening my mouth." He is actually asking the church to pray for God to supply him with words to speak when he opens his mouth. "Lord, what am I going to say to these people? Give me words." You know, it never occurred to me that Paul would ask for that kind of a prayer. I've always thought of Paul as a man who had plenty to say with no difficulty. But maybe he did have difficulty finding words to speak. I know that I do, because I want my words to be true and true to the Word of God and accurate and clear with a meaningful message. That's my goal when I speak to you, and I need help. So pray for me that God would supply me with words to speak when I open my mouth. But more important than that, pray for our missionaries that God would supply them with words. And then pray for boldness. Verse 19 and 20. The word "boldly" occurs once in verse 19 and once in verse 20. Do you see that? He says, "and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly." Do you hear Paul praying, Paul asking them to pray for him to have boldness? I don't usually think of the Apostle Paul as needing boldness, but maybe he did. Maybe he had the same kind of struggle that we do. Maybe it wasn't so easy for Paul to preach in the Jewish synagogues at Salamis and Antioch in Pisidia and Iconium and Thessalonica. Maybe it wasn't so easy for him to address the philosophers of Athens at the Areopagus. Maybe it wasn't so easy for Paul to speak before the Roman governor, Felix, and before King Agrippa. When Regent Morton stood over the grave and spoke the words of eulogy about John Knox, he said, "Here lies a man who neither feared nor flattered any flesh." And of course, there's great truth to that. In Knox's proclamation, he was fearless. And he certainly flattered no one. And he appeared not to fear any man. But John Knox himself said that he struggled mightily with the fear of man and with man-pleasing. Knox said one time, "I was assaulted, yea, infected with more gross sins. That is, my wicked nature desired the favors, the estimation, and the praise of men. Vainglory almost got the upper hand." No man ought to be in a pulpit who fears man more than God. But most preachers struggle with precisely that temptation. There always exists in ministers the temptation to fear people and their opinions, to lose their strong Christian convictions when they stand before certain people, to curry favor with them, with their words and with their preaching, rather than fearing God. I suspect that in every minister there is a temptation to tell people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And here is the Apostle Paul asking the Ephesians to pray that he would have such a fear of God that he would boldly proclaim the gospel. And then pray for the proclamation of the gospel. Verse 19 says, "Opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." The most important thing is the proclamation of the gospel. Do you know that sometimes ministries and missionaries and preachers get so involved in other things that the proclamation of the gospel is lost? They may be doing all kinds of good things, but the proclamation of the gospel is lost. We send teams out to minister to people's needs, and that is great. It is a point of contact and a needed service. But sometimes the proclamation of the gospel is never gotten around to. Sometimes preachers get so involved in preaching sociology and psychology that they lose the proclamation of the gospel. I used to listen to Christian radio programs that were devoted to teaching people how to have successful marriages, how to raise successful children, how to have a successful life. And sometimes it sounded to me like just too much sociology or too much psychology. Experts sitting around behind a microphone on a radio station telling you how to have a successful marriage and how to raise successful kids. Sometimes it's just too much entertainment. What needs to be the primary focus in missions and in our gatherings in the Christian ministry is the proclamation of the gospel. That is should be foremost. And then he says, pray for endurance through trials. Verse 20 says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains." What is Paul saying there? He's saying, "I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and I am over here in Rome in chains right now." He's saying, "I am currently a prisoner." He may have been chained to a Roman soldier, but at any rate, he was a prisoner. He is not bemoaning the fact that he is a prisoner. I think he accepts it as the will of God for him right now. He says that Tychicus is going to come to you and he's going to encourage your heart, so don't be discouraged by me being a prisoner. But he is telling them what his situation is, and he is in chains. So he probably did need prayer to endure the hardship of imprisonment. God does not always save his servants from the trials and the tribulations of life, and he does not spare them from the pain and the sorrows and the difficulties Martin Luther had a rather forthright way of saying things. And in the middle of his sermon on Psalm 5, he pauses and he says this: "A minister is not made by reading books, but by living and dying and being damned." Do you know what he's saying there? He's saying that ministers are made in the crucible. That's where God makes ministers. Most of God's good ministers have known the trials and the tribulations and the sufferings and the sorrows of life. That's how God makes good ministers. And then he says, pray with solemnity. Verse 20 says, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak, there is... Paul felt a solemn obligation to preach the gospel. You know why it's a solemn obligation? Because people need to hear the message. But people are resistant to the message. People don't really want to hear the message. But when the message of the gospel is preached, one of two things happens. Either it is received with faith, or else it is rejected with a hard heart. Those who receive it with faith experience the blessings of salvation. Those who reject it turn bitter and hard toward God and His Son, Jesus Christ. The more the gospel is rejected, the harder the heart gets, until eventually there's no hope. God withdraws His Spirit and turns those people over to wrath. Pray with solemnity that the gospel will penetrate hearts and bear fruit to the glory of God. And then pray for specific needs. In verse 21 through 22, he says, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are." Now, we don't know specifically what Tychicus told them, but he went there to tell them everything. This may be the origin of missionary letters and missionary visits to supporting congregations. We need to be informed about what and how our missionaries are doing. And that way we can pray for their specific needs. We also develop a shared life with them, so that finally we ought to pray for the relationship between the missionary and the church. Verse 21 through 24 says, "So that you may also know how I am doing and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." In this last section of the letter, there are two verses of personal words and there are two verses of benediction. You know what a benediction is? A benediction is a word of blessing. You know the difference between a benediction and a doxology, don't you? A doxology is an expression of praise from man to God. A benediction is an expression of blessing from God to man. Do you know what Paul is doing right there in those concluding words? He is building a relationship with his church. He is informing them about what he is doing, and he's sending his fellow worker, Tychicus, to encourage them. He wants there to be a partnership between them and him in this missionary enterprise. Paul is out there in another land preaching the gospel, but he wants them to be partners with him, so that it's not just Paul out there, but the church is out there too, through Paul. The church, by supporting Paul and praying for Paul, has a part in the spread of the gospel. When we send our money to support missionaries, they are doing the hard work, but we have a part in what they are doing. So it's not just them out there somewhere. It's us with them, taking the gospel to other lands. We therefore enjoy a true fellowship with them in the gospel. In this benediction, Paul is asking God to supply them with peace. Peace between themselves and God through Jesus Christ. And love, for them to know the love of God and faith for God to grant them faith. We know that faith is a gift of God. And grace, God's good, unmerited favor. That is His prayer for them. That's His good word for them, a blessing. And that's my prayer for you, that God's grace would be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ, with love incorruptible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for our missionaries, these that we have heard from recently, including the Bolings as they go to Mexico, the Davilas in Costa Rica, the Dahogues in North Africa, the Hills in Peru, the Chaplains and the Romains. We also pray for Larry Brown as he goes back to Malawi, Africa in July, and for Alan Cochet as he leaves for France in August. I pray for them that You would grant them a supply of truth to speak, boldness to proclaim the gospel, that the gospel would be proclaimed for their endurance through trials and for there to develop among us and them a partnership in the gospel. Amen.